We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. We pray that you have done so in the last days gone by. We pray that you will take time to hear what the Lord would have to say to your heart each day and listen for his word into your life that would bring forth healing, soul, mind, and body. We thank God for today that he has blessed us, that we be able to come to you by the way of internet or however you are receiving us. We just pray that God will bless you and that you will have an ear to hear what he has to say, not so much as to me, but what the Word of God has to say to your heart that would bring healing for your soul, mind, and body. For today that the world is sick with sin, and that's the worst sickness that a people could have, is sin sickness. And God came into this world to save us from our sins, not in our sins, but from our sins, and to heal us from sin sickness and all other manners of disease. My friend, today that it's time that we would take consideration into our thoughts of him who placed himself on the cross of Calvary. You see, they didn't just take his life. He laid it down because he loved the people that of the world, the man that he created and to start with in his own image, out of the dust of the earth was Adam. But he, the second Adam, was a spirit. But God was a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The word in the Genesis said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John, the first chapter said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The 14th verse says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt and came among us. And he died for our sin. So we need to realize that in the Psalms there that David brought forth into that on Psalms 107 was that he was crying out to the people. And all during there in that Psalms, he wrote it, oh, that he would that men would praise the Lord everywhere for his goodness and his mercy toward the children of men. So, my friends, it's time that we took time to realize that we owe God praise and worship. He done so much for us that there's no way that we can repay him except we repent and be a recipient of his salvation, healing soul, mind, and body. He came into this world for that purpose, to heal us from our sickness of our sins and to save us from those things that we might be inheritance to the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people may make the difference between the Gentile and the Jew, in which at one time God did. He chose the Jewish people, or Israel rather, that they would be an example to all others, nations, that there was a God that they needed to call upon. But when he put Israel on the back burner, you might say, because he told them there at one time, he said that the kingdom of God would be taken away from them and gave to another nation, and which into the Gentiles, which he made that bring forth there one fold under one shepherd. He is the chief shepherd, and the fold of his sheep is them that call upon his name and have received the atonement for sin that he came into this world to give to us by the healing of our soul, mind, and body. Forgiveness of our sins there, when he purchased our lives there on Calvary with the giving of his life, the shedding of his blood, he brought forth a healing for the soul of man if we would accept it. Many people today think that because scientists comes up with a whole bunch of junk that they don't know what they're talking about, but the God of this world has deceived them, so they want to deceive a lot of people that God didn't have anything to do with the creation of the world. It all came by a big bang somewhere or another, and all of it came to be in existence. If you believe that theory, my friend, that Big Bang theory, you take your Rolex watch that you paid several thousand dollars for, beat it into pieces, throw it up in the air, and if it comes down keeping correct time and all together, then you might could believe that. Otherwise, you believe what the Word of God has to say, because He came into this world to heal us from our sin sickness. The worst sickness that a man can have is not believing in the Almighty God and turning his back from Him and following after the world and all of the corruption that are in there, and letting the devil deceive them as he did Eve in the garden and Adam. So we've got to find out what is truth. If you believe that there is a God that created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, then let them scientists that comes along and those things and theories that they come up with, that billions and billions of years ago that a big bang happened, just pass it on by and let it go and believe what the Word of God said. So we're looking at the time of the end, whether they want to realize it or not. But my friend, it's come time that we need to shake ourselves from the dust, check upon ourselves and see where we stand with God, calling upon the name of the Lord, repenting of our sins, and being saved from the sickness of sin, brought forth healing for the body, soul, mind, and all these things from sickness, because there's a lot of sickness out there is due simply because of sin in their life. Unbelief. There is other things that's come on us, but the devil has permission from God to bring these things upon you. And as he did in Job, he put things on Job. He destroyed his family, his wealth, and everything at permission from God. But when he said skin for skin, why does he worship you? So God told him he could do anything but kill him. So it led him to have free hand on you and I, that he can't take your life, but he can make you feel miserable if you so let him do so. My friend, I'm done past the time of, I guess you might say, my youth is done gone under the bridge, you might say, and I'm over 80 years old, but I thank my God to know that every day that he has kept me and brought me this far, because I believe that he said that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Now, some people look at an abundant life as having all kinds of food, I guess, and raiment and wealth of the things of the world and all kinds of these things. But I want you to think about that abundant life with Christ is more than food and raiment, more than the material things of this life. If that was what it would be, then God would not have said that these material things is just temporal. They're just temporal. The time will come that when they'll all be done away with. And if we haven't got God in our life, then we are most miserable. We need to understand that the Word of God was given unto us as a guideline into the presence of God. The patriarchs of old, when Abraham was spoke to from God, spoke to Abraham and to come out from amongst his people and be separated, in other words, and go to the place that he would show him and he would have for an inheritance. God wanted him to come out from all the sins of the world and bring forth and do his will, and therefore he would bring him into a place of dwelling. That's what God is trying to do to us today. He's trying to bring us out of the world of corruption and sin that the enemy of our soul is the king of this world. He's the god of this world, and he brings forth corruption into all kinds of ways. It causes the war, diseases, and sickness because he is at liberty to do so, but he cannot take your life. I know people are dying. Don't get me wrong. There's earthquakes and various different things. There's a mudslide in Washington there killed several people. And we know that the instigator behind all these things is the devil. But he did not take no life. It wasn't allowed by God. There were these things that people want to fuss about, that God, they don't want to serve God because he didn't heal their little granddaughter or their child or granddaddy or something other of that nature. My friend, it's wrong to accuse God of that. We know that God has promised us that a man's lifespan is about 70 years. So if you live beyond that, then you have been blessed. So I just consider it to be a blessing and everything that we know that man, scripture teaches that man is but like the grass of the field. It is comes up, it withers, it's cut down and put to the fire. But my friend, today, if we will call upon the name of the Lord, seeking his refuge in him, and in that strong tower, which is the name of the Lord, we can be saved from the distress of these things by entering into his kingdom. It's not to say, I'm not saying that you can go through life after you repent and never have any more problems. That's not what I'm saying. I have problems, and I believe that God is on my side, and I'm with him, and he's with me. But nevertheless, the devil tries to tempt you to discredit God and to say that God allowed this and that and one thing or another to try to get you to doubt God's presence and his love and kindness. But when David was penning into the Psalms there, when he went to express his thing that God, that he would that people would praise the Lord, that every man, everybody should praise the Lord for his goodness and his kindness and his mercy toward the children of men. Did you praise him today? Did you thank him for keeping you through another night, that some kind of tragedy didn't happen to you or whatever? Have you even thought about giving him praise and honor? We know that throughout that the Psalms there that he spoke to there in Psalms 107 and 10, he said, "Much as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound and afflicted and ironed, because they rebelled against the works of God and continued his counselor for the Most High." My friend, today they was brought down, they labored, and they received no results of it. But David goes on to write it, that he said that they brought them out of the darkness of the shadow of death and broke their bands asunder. And then he says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of man." There's a lot of people today that has had blessings upon blessings came from the hand of God, and they didn't recognize it because they thought that their boss man gave them a raise and he favored them and everything. But God had something to do with it, my friend. You may have been a good steward to whatever. You may have been a good worker and a good employee. But God laid it into the man's heart to give you, compensate you for your good work. And that's a part of God's doings, that he would bless us by these things. But did you think about giving God any part of it, that you have received? Many people, even to Abraham, gave Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils from the kings that when he rescued Lot from, he gave it to Melchizedek there, the prince of Salem, which had no father or mother, no beginning or end, but it was a type of God, and he gave a tenth of the spoils. So if you give a tenth of your earnings to God, that he might be merciful to you and increase you in many other ways? Or have you hoarded up his part and spent your part also, and you become destitute? Remember, God is not going to be mocked. He will bless them that blesses him, as he said he would bless them that bless Israel and curse them that curse them. So, my friend, it's not Israel that you've given the tithes to, but it's for the work of the goodness of grace of God. I'm not in a kick to prog you for money or anything like that, but I'm just trying to get you to understand that why you not being blessed of God is because you're not obeying the commandments that God laid down for us, the guideline, the roadmap that he gave to us by his word, by the prophets of old and the apostles and those that came before us, that they laid out there, and they brought forth infallible proof that God is a merciful God, but yet he is a God of wrath. He will bless you, but also he will allow the devil to curse you and bring all kinds of problems upon you. So I'm just trying to encourage you to take time out of your business schedule each day to give God some praise. As David was penning, "Oh, I would that men would praise God everywhere." That's what we need to do, to be thankful that the blessings of God. But I want to just think about it, my friend, today. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, for him restraining the evils of this world, the god of this world, the devil, and putting a stop and said, "You can come here and no further, you can do this and nothing else," if it had not have been for him, then the devil would have you by the nose, drug you into hell, and me along with you long time ago. But I thank my God today to know that by cause of God's word is infallible and it stands. And when he said the devil could not take your life, then that's the way it is. As he did with the sea when he commanded everything there and he brought the waves to the shoreline. He said, "Come here and no further." And but yet they strive trying to come further upon the shoreline. But they come to a certain extent and they roll back. And that's the way the devil is. He come to a place of as far as he can go. And then he backs off and then he'll come again just like the waves of the sea. My friend, it's time we take the consideration that God is sovereign. He don't need you and I, but he would prefer you and I to worship him in spirit and in truth, calling upon the name of the Lord, repenting from our sins, because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, brought forth sin, death, and destruction upon mankind there in the garden. And so Jesus himself came into this world, God in the flesh, came into this world to bring us out from under the bondage of sin, to bring us into the place that he called eternal life, and bring us into his kingdom, which will be set up probably in a near future, that I believe that will come forth, and wherein dwelleth righteousness. There be no more sin and sicknesses, but we got to maintain God's grace and faith in our lives until that day comes, until we have to be faithful calling upon the name of the Lord. It's time we've taken time out of our schedule to give God some glory and honor and praise and look to him for leadership. We look to people in the government, our people that way for leadership. And we have come to the place, my friend, that there's a poor leadership around the nation. All kind of dictatorship and causing people all kinds of distress and problems, but God is the only answer. He's the one that can bring forth peace like a river into your soul. The man is just like any man. They are tempted to go exceedingly above what they were called to do, and they bring themselves on to being dictators, and they don't care about nothing but them and their few. And that's the way it is. And if you don't include in their few, then you're going to suffer the consequences from the hand of them that they worship the god of this world for gain of personal wealth and so on and so forth and power. It's time we realize that the awesome power of God is going to come one day. I don't think it's too far down the road, and he's going to put all these here little peons and cast them into hell. They think that they got so much power on this world, but they haven't got no more than God will allow them to do, just like the devil. We've seen them come up, and we've seen them cast down because they went like the devil himself, tried to ascend above all that was godly and get to be the God of heaven. And he got cast into hell. So these people that are trying to press their issues in one thing or another is going to come to naught. my friend. God's going to cast them into hell with all the other false liars and temptations and things. So we got to realize that the only thing that's going to stand is God's word. And if you're standing in the word of God, if you're using his roadmap, his word, into the kingdom of God, and you follow his direction, follow his instructions, and make your life pleasant with him, as even though under the circumstances that may be around you. As Paul was thrown in jail many times, he wrote many of the epistles from in the jail cells, but he was delivered many times. But in the end there, Paul made notion about it. He said, I have not yet achieved, but I press toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. But before they are in Rome, before they killed him, he said, I have finished my course. I have run my race. And now, therefore, is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for them only, but all to them that love the Lord and his appearing. So where do you stand today? Do you stand in the place of, oh, me, I'm just in all these kind of troubles and nobody to help me. They're fixing to do this to me and they don't do that. The IRS is gonna share my wages, take my home and all of my boats and my airplanes away from me because I owe them $20,000 or more. And you crying out, well, did you give God any praise and glory for all of that you got in the goods of this world? Did you thank him for giving you the ability to earn these things? Or did you take time out and said, Lord, this is your part. I'm giving unto you at least a 10%. And here's a little extra as an offering to help someone else out there that they may their life may be a little bit better because you have blessed me tremendously. So I want to bless others. My friend, it's time that we take notice in the word of God. Don't believe everything these politicians tell you. I don't say all of them's liars, but a lot of them stretches the truth mighty thin. But I want you to think about it. God is truth, and the truth lies in him. And if you let him bring us to the place of believing and trusting in him, someday, even in this world of troubles and woes that it is, someday there's going to be a reunion of God's children, and it's going to bring forth that reunion that, like some people have their school reunion, so on, where they get to meet everybody they haven't seen for a while. But that reunion that God's going to bring forth is when he gathers all of his children into that kingdom that he has prepared for them, and we can make all acquaintance renew them that will make it. My friend, it's time we take it into consideration. All these things that we do in this present world is going to be done away with. You can build your mansions, you can do all these things, but the material things of this world that we have accomplished will be done away with. Only what's going to last is that soul that has repented of their sins, come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and begin life anew, as he said, that he would heal them, soul, mind, and body. As David penned in the book of Psalms here in 107, he said in there in verse 20 or 19, he said, then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles and in their severe, served them out of their distress. When he brought them out of their distress, and he said, he sent his word and healed them, and deliver them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. I want you to think about it. Oh, if the Lord would have just turned us over to the devil with any old way he wanted to do, and there was no restraint on him, my friend, you would be in trouble. Oh, the trouble you would be in too. We already got enough of it. He's put these people out there on the streets selling drugs, and now they're legalizing these things. These things come from the devil, my friend. They come to put it in the hearts of people to make all this stuff legalizing this and legalize that. It once used to be, was never heard of legalizing some of these drugs that's come out on the street and everything and brought forth it all. God would hear the prayers of his people and he would restrain it. But now, because the world has come to the love its own, and they come to all these here things, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, the devil has placed it into the hearts of man to come forth and do all these things, and they think they're great. Get these out of body experience, so they say, from drugs and one thing or another. Well, I want you to know that one of these days he's going to go out of his body and experience and everything, and he ain't going to return, but he's going to wake up in hell, and I wonder what he'll think then. Be like the rich man. Let Lazarus come and dip his finger in the water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Simply because they forgot that God is on the throne. He's in control. He's got it all planned out for you and I. All we got to do is fit into the plan. We got to repent. We got to come to the place that we're in, that we call upon the name of the Lord and praise him, as the psalmist David penned there. He said, "Oh, that I would that men would praise Lord, praise God in all of his wonderful works that he's done for the children of man." Do you praise him today for your life that you have? It may be kind of upset and in a turmoil and everything, but as long as there's breath in the body and a life to live, that you can call upon the name of the Lord. And you may go out of this world, but it would be enter into a new world where there is none of those problems they are going to get into. I'm not saying you're going to walk into the kingdom of God right today of passing death, but I believe you'll go into the rest of God. No man has entered into the heavens but him that come down out of heaven, and that was Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. But my friend, he said he took the man on the cross. He said, "Today wilt thou be with me in paradise." Now that paradise didn't mean heaven. He just said that in paradise. Paradise would be anything better than what we're living in today, even under this present administration that we're living under. Paradise would be a place of rest, that I believe. It's not to be in the heavens of heavens, but it would be a place of rest, resting in Christ Jesus. Therefore, and when the resurrection comes, that first resurrection, the Lord comes and to the clouds to receive them, then them that are dead in Christ shall rise first. Them that are still alive and remain shall be changed. But my friend, the only way this is going to happen to us is we're going to have to repent, calling upon the name of the Lord, giving him praise and honor, obeying what the word of God says. Not what man says, but what thus saith the Lord. When he came into this world, he told the people there that he came into this world to preach the gospel. He was anointed to do so. And he said, and he told them there, and he said, "Now this day these things are fulfilled. In the scriptures are fulfilled." When Jesus sat down there and was teaching them there, that he came into this world and he brought forth salvation. First and foremost, you got to be healed from sin. You got to take on him and heal your sin-sick soul from the diseases of sin and let him heal you by repenting. Then the next thing you can do is to give him praise and honor, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, gathering together at the assembled time and giving praise to God and those things that are come to be, that when he said, "Forsake not the assembling together," but we need to do this. Most people today assemble thousands and thousands of them at a football game and won't never darken the church doors. My friend, this is not right. God's going to call them into accountable for it. And when they fail to seek after him, then the only other God they're going to ever see is that old boy called the devil is going to be their God. But they're going to look upon him. Them that pierced him is going to see him. But now, would you rather see him in peace when he comes? Or were you going to see him with the wrath upon you? Because you failed to call upon the name of the Lord. You failed to give him praise. You failed to be healed from your sinful sickness life and walk in the presence of God with healing from that only he can give there, from salvation from our sins. He can only do that. Nobody else can do it. Yeah, these people that call themselves priests of God, and they can forgive you if you've made a wrong them. They can forgive you of that, but they cannot forgive your sins that you've committed in this body, in this world. There's no man on earth that can proclaim that he is God on earth and telling the truth. It just absolutely ain't. God on earth is the Spirit of God that came back after he told the apostles there. He said, "It is expediently that I go away. For if I not go away, the Comforter will not come. But I will pray the Father that he'll give you another Comforter, and he'll send it in my name." He said, "I will dwell with you. I will walk in you. I will never leave you or never forsake you." But my friend, it calls for repentance. Godly sorrow of your sin. Do about face. No longer walking in the darkness of sin, but walking in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, calling upon the name of the Lord for salvation. That's what it's going to take. You may not believe it, but there's a lot of people that would tell you different, right, if they could speak from where they're at in eternity. But as the rich man said, "Let Lazarus go and tell my brothers." And Abraham told him, he said, "Even though one raised from the dead goes, they're not going to believe. Let them believe the apostles," in other words, the preachers, the priests. "Oh, but one come from the dead, they would surely believe." Jesus Christ died for your sins as mine. But if you don't believe on him, and he rose from the dead and is alive forevermore, if you don't believe the teachings that there is wrote in the book, then even though your grandpa came back from the grave and told you need to get it right, you probably wouldn't believe it. It'd scare you so bad you'd probably run off and leave him standing there. But my friend, let me tell you, that one that died for our sins done it willingly, and because it was the only way that salvation could be brought to our miserable, sinful life, and we be healed of our sicknesses. And being healed from our sickness of sin, believing and calling upon the name of the Lord, he'll heal many of our diseases and our other sicknesses also. As our faith be, as the centurion came to the Lord there, he said, "I have a servant grievously sick and maybe dying," in other words. He said, Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." He said, "No." He said, "I'm a man of authority. I say to this, go, and this one, come, and these things and all, and they do as I say." He said, "I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just speak the word." He sent his word and healed them. He spoke the word. He said, "Go, thy servant liveth." And he went, and he come to report to him that his servant was living. He was healed just by the word of God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God himself came down and walked among man in the flesh. That flesh that came out of the womb of the little girl Mary was placed there. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The spirit of the dove ascended down on the man called Jesus at the baptism of John in the river of Jordan. He was told that when he seen the spirit of God as a form of a dove come and land upon him and remained, he said he would know that it was he. It was a sign to John to know that who he was. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin." But that voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God in the flesh, my friend. The sonship of God was the flesh that he dwelt in. Oh, my God, I wish that you could understand and believe what the Word of God says. Asking the Lord to help you with understanding, enlighten you into the truth of God's Word, that you follow not after every wind of doctrine and this or that, but follow hard after the Lord in his presence, seeking after him with your whole heart. Oh, that David said, "Oh, I would that men everywhere would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy that he had toward the children of men." Oh, I thank him today. I praise him. Thank him for his righteousness and his salvation. My righteousness is but filthy rags according to the word, but his is pure, clean, and white. Only his blood can cleanse you from our sinness and our sickness of sin. Taking red blood and washing our darkest of our sin, that though red like crimson be whiter than snow. Only God can do these things, my friend. No dictator, no government, nobody else can do it but God. Jesus, God in the flesh, came to save you and me from our sin sickness. It would bring us into the place that he'd gone prepare for us, into a righteous place, into where indwelleth righteousness. He come forth, sent his word to heal us. If you read the scriptures and find out how many times that God healed people, as he walked upon as man on the earth, he healed the sickness, he healed the blindness, he even rebuked the fever from Peter's mother-in-law there, and brought forth, and she rose up immediately and ministered. Not that she preached to him, now don't get me wrong, she didn't minister to him in preaching, but she raised up and I believe prepared a meal and ministered to him. You see, there's many ways you can minister to the Lord. By praise and worship him in spirit and in truth, and by you giving him honor and glory, and you ministering unto him. He don't need you preaching to him. He just needs you to be obedient to him. That's all he's asking. Faithfulness, honoring him, giving him the honor and glory that he is due to him because of what he has done for mankind when he came in the flesh. They couldn't take the God of creation, the Spirit of God, and nail him to a cross. They couldn't do that, but he made himself a body of flesh and bone, just as you and I are. And he created the first Adam out of the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils. He became a living soul. But he was made in the image of God and in his likeness, my friend. Don't be fooled by this stupid way that these scientists come up and said it all happened for the Big Bang. A monkey jumped down out of the tree and became a man and all this kind of stuff. It's futile. It's ridiculous. God is not a monkey. He's not foolishness. He was a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. One day when it all comes to be and we see him as he is, then we'll know that we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. My friend, today, he was just, when you look in the mirror, you see the image of God. But we're not like him, because in his likeness, we would not have no doubt. And we'd love our neighbors, love our enemies. We'd love one another. Men quit beating their wives and getting drunk and slapping their children around, and mothers the same way. But they'd love one another. They would bring forth peace and tranquility into their homes with love, tenders, and caring for one for another. But because of the God of this world has entered into the hearts of man and brought them forth into destruction, that's what he's intended to do. But God gave us a free moral desire. You can choose to serve the God of this world, or you can serve the God that created the world. You can serve him in the beauty of holiness, or you can serve the devil in the sickness of sin. It's up to you. But God ain't going to make you choose. But one day, when you stand before him and hear him say, depart, you'd wish you would have chose him. Be too late then, as it was in the days of Noah. The door stayed open for 7 days of grace, but nobody entered in. But it was shut. And when the lightning flashed and the thunder roared and the rain began to fall, I no doubt that there was some prayer meeting going on, because then they believed what Noah was telling them for 120 years. My friend, there's been a long time that preachers have been preaching that the Lord was coming again and received to his own. He hasn't appeared yet, but that doesn't mean that he is not going to come. It just means he gives you another while for grace. Get to you another day or two longer for you to get prepared for his coming, that you may not reap the wrath that he's going to bring upon the sinner and the ungodly. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's your choice as well as it was mine. But I would encourage you, my friend, read your Bible. Choose to serve the Lord today, because tomorrow may bring on a different onset of the whole world. It may bring the destruction to you, or as it is, it when the silence of night, when people was in Washington up there, and all of a sudden the mountain gave way and carried a lot of them into destruction. I hope and pray that they were right with the Lord, but nevertheless, they're gone. The enemy brought down this destruction upon them, as he did in Job's day, when he brought upon their children, the wind smote the corners posters of the house, and it caved in and took all of Noah's children away, and the fires came around, and fire came and devoured his camels and things of that, and they took all of his wealth. So where are you going to be? You're going to be like the devil said to God, that he would cause Job to curse him to his face? Many people have done that because of destruction, because the devil had had his way and done something other to cause them to curse God and doubt him. My friend, I've had some tragedy that happened in my life, but I still believe God's in control, and I believe that one day that everything, all of the crooked is going to be made straight, and all of the hills are going to be laid low, and that way called straight is going to be straight, my friend. And God's going to be the one that's going to do it. I believe that with my whole heart. I would that you would too. And as David said, I would that men everywhere would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy toward the children of men. Oh, my friend, it's time we begin to realize that this world is teeter-tottering on the end of destruction. All these rogue nations have got these nuclear powers, and God said it was going to be burned up. The world that was kept by the word of God, that stood in the water and out of the water at Noah's day, and now it is kept in reserve against the fire, against that day. So it's up to you and I to make a decision. No longer you need to stand in the valley of decision. Get out of the valley of decision. Decide to serve the Lord. And you may have some problems. I'm not saying you won't, because I love roses, as I've said before, and I have a few of them. I just rose bushes around and everything. But when you go to smell the sweet fragrance that they have in them and everything, be careful, my friend, because there's thorns there and they will stick you. Don't run up and grab them and embrace them without being prepared for some pricks and sticks. And that's the way life is. It's full of disappointments. But God one day is going to bring forth a life and a world that is full of joy, peace, and love. But you got to repent. You got to receive him as your Savior. You got to look to him to be the one that would bring forth salvation, healing the sickness of the sins, and bringing forth healing for all the things that in life that brings forth destruction. It's only in him, Christ Jesus, God in the flesh. And he came to do this for you and I. And now, what is the problem with having to give him honor and glory? Why is it that you feel like that you don't owe him anything? He done everything for you. Salvation is a free gift from God. Don't cost you anything, except the world. Turn you away from the world and its pleasures of life, seeking after the kingdom of God and his glory and his honor, and praise him and give him honor and glory. And so what's so hard about that? Oh, I would that men everywhere would praise the Lord, as David said, and I will repeat it again. I would that men everywhere would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy toward man and the children of men. Oh, his mercy will endureth forever. His righteousness is righteousness, and it's clear and it's pure, and all we got to do is receive it. Come and buy milk and honey and bread without a price. All it do, if you hang on to the world, my friend, it's going to bring us to destruction. If you take a hold to the horns of the altar and reach out and touch the hem of the garment of him that came to save us, to heal us and bring forth righteousness in our life, we can have life and have it more abundantly in Christ Jesus. Don't mean that you're going to have a Cadillac in your yard and steak on the table every day and a big bank account and whatever else, that the material things of this world. It means an abundant life I just thank God for his life that he's gave me. For every day of it, I wake up and I said, thank you, Lord, for another day that you let me to share with you. And I thank you for your blessing. It's time we begin to give him praise and honor. He's the only one that is do it. You praise a president or some of these other political people, you're wrong. You praise a man over there in Italy, you're wrong. And all them that do wrong in the sight of God, you praise them, it's wrong. Praise God and lift him up. As David said, oh, I would that men everywhere would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy toward the children of men, that he's had mercy for all mankind. But his mercy one day is going to return, and it's going to turn into wrath upon them with the sinner and the ungodly. They're going to run to throw their wealth into the caves with the bats and call for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of God. So where is your wealth going to be? It's not going to get you into the kingdom of God. But you can be, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Through repentance, godly sorrow for our sins and our way that we miss out on God's blessing simply because we'd rather walk in darkness than in light. We'd rather have the sins and the natural of this world and the pleasures of life more than the love of God. My friend, it's time we take into consideration, where will you spend eternally? If God should send the death angel for you today, whether it's in a tragedy or if you just lay down and not wake up, where would you spend eternity? If you were called into the courtroom today to prove whether you was a Christian or not, would there be enough evidence to prove that you was a child of God? Or would there be less evidence that would not prove you to be? Or would you say, no, I'll go with the world and leave God out of my life. Just don't kill me or whatever. It's up to you. But the time may come. Paul faced that old Nero chop block, so they say. And he faced it up and he said, I've finished my course. I've run my race. I've finished my course. Now, therefore, is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but for all of them that love the Lord and his appearing. So do you love him today? Or are you going to go without any hope and go down in defeat because the God of this world has got you by the nose and dragging you into hell and laughing at you all the time because you're following after him? My friend, it's time we take it into consideration. God came into this world to heal us from our sin, sick soul, and bring us into the righteousness of God, our Heavenly Father. So we need to praise him. As David said, I would that men everywhere would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy toward the children of men. So it's time we take into consideration. It's time we give him praise and honor, doing what he has asked us to do. He didn't ask us anything that was grievous or hard to do. But even the asking, he said, you can do nothing without me. But he said, I'll go with you. I'll help you. I'll go with you even unto the end of the world. Who else could make such a statement as that? My friend, I could go with you to the graveside, and if it was me that give the eulogy over you, I could go with you to the graveside and see them lower you into that 6x6 or 3x6, whatever it is, and put the dirt over you. But that's as far as I can go. But Jesus said he would go with us even unto the end of the world. Never leave us nor forsake you. Even when the breath leaves out of the body is dead, it will rot and decay. But it goes unto the life, the spirit goes unto God who gives it. So it's up to you. It's time we take consideration to take time for Jesus, giving him praise and honor, looking unto him to be the author and the finisher of my faith. Repent and let God come into our life and give us a life that he would have us to have. May be some troubles, but just think about the hereafter eternally. Peace, love, joy forevermore. My wife's got something other here, and I just pray that God will bless you and keep you, my friend, and you give time to him and give him honor and glory, as David in the 107th Psalm said. Read it. Follow it up. Read the rest of it there, the references on it that would give to you, and follow it up and see what God has to say to you today. Listen for that small, still voice and give God praise and honor. Father, we pray that you would bless them and have them the ear to hear and the heart to receive, that they would call upon the name of the Lord before it's too late, for the sickness of their sins be healed and bring forth life into them, O Lord, that only you can give. And we'll give you the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Here's my wife. Here she's got something.
Well, I just praise the Lord again for being able to share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart today. As Brother Compton was reading in the Psalm 107, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." We do not pray at all until, you know, we get to wit's end, and then we call on the Lord and wonder why he doesn't answer our prayers. But if you don't have a daily communication with him, and I've said before, if you don't belong to him, you're not one of his children, he's not obligated to answer your prayers. Most of your prayers are answered because someone else prayed for you. But I've said before, today's a day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. There's in Psalms, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. During this time, many a man prayed for the first time in his life over there in the war zones and everything like that. When a man's at wit's end and has no place else to go, it's not a cowardly thing to pray and ask God to help you. It's the only way that you can get into touch with reality. Have you ever been at wit's end? Well, I have, and it isn't a pleasant place to be. When you don't know which way to turn, you ask, "What more can happen? I'm doing all I can do, and nothing's working out. How much more of this can I take, Lord?" You cry out to the Lord, but sometimes it doesn't seem like he's listening. You don't see the desired results. You begin to question, do you have any faith at all, or where did my faith go? My question is, have you truly done all you know to do? Sometimes I've said to myself that I'm doing all I know to do, when I know in my heart there's more, and I'm just not willing to submit myself to it at this time. It's like I'm trying to get something for nothing, or at the best, doing very little on my part to trust my sole provider. My words are cheapened by my lack of exercise of my faith muscles. Do you know to do something and you're not holding back from doing it? I've found myself that I can make a lot of excuses for not doing what I should be doing and what the Lord is nudging me to do. If I want more faith, I need to exercise what little bit of faith that he gave me to build up my faith muscles. I have to come before the throne room and build up the presence of the Lord that's within me. Sometimes I just need to go there and listen and wait on him to speak to me so I can get more familiar with his voice. I'm learning more every day that I can take his word and apply it to my heart and know assuredly that he will deliver me out of my distresses. My prayer for you today is that you will find that peace that I'm finding when I submit to his nudging and stretch my faith in his direction. As I build up his presence within me, I'm learning that I can really trust him, even in the last hour, to come through and deliver me from my distresses. He promised me it, and he doesn't lie. In that, I can trust. And in Psalms again, the first verse, 107 and 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." In Psalms 107, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works for the children of men. That is found four times, the same verse, in this same chapter. I know where it is, but I'm challenging you to look and see if you can find it. And I, every morning, as you start your day, there's a psalm that says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And then it's, in the Proverbs, it's, "Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." If you start your day off like that before you go to work or wherever you go, you remember it during the day when things come against you and say, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." When I was working those 52 years, there was many times when I had to bite my tongue and think about that verse. Now, if you want to help us, it would be appreciated. Our address is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. You can email us with your prayer requests. It would be greatly appreciated if we'd hear from you. Let us know what you think at ecompton31@yahoo.com. Tell us what you think of us or don't think of us. You're welcome to do either one. May God bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
So it's up to us, my friend. Give God glory and praise and take time for Jesus. And we'll see you next time. May God richly bless you. As my wife said, write to us. A prayer request or something other. And we just give God the glory and honor for those that would listen. We praise God and we give him the honor for it. May God richly bless you, my friend. Amen and amen. Till next time, God bless.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And life